You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't even care. I love it.
What did he say?
It doesn't matter, Dan. Just go with it.
Sam, can you play that again, if you don't mind?
Traffic is getting tighter than a bronc rider's rigging sitting in the chute. Northbound I-35 is heavy through Johnson County into downtown and lane closure.
That's rodeo.
A bronc rider, yeah.
Yeah.
Sitting in the chute.
Sitting in the chute.
Bronc rider sitting in the chute.
Yeah.
He's on to us. He knows that we love this stuff, and he's doing it on purpose now. He lost track of time. It cost him two strokes, Dana Wright.
Saw it.
Garrick Higo.
Believe it. 1 minute late.
He was 1 minute late. Mm-hmm.
To his tee time in the Players' Championship, which is on right now. He was 1 minute late. I have never heard of this penalty. Doesn't surprise me it exists.
He was supposed to be there at 7:18.
Yep.
He showed up at 7:19.
Two strokes. And I think he finished four under the day. Should have been six
three
under.
Three under.
Yep.
Two strokes,
Sam. I had never That's heard hefty. That in my entire life.
And they let Patrick Reed play.
But I'll tell you this. When they interviewed this guy about it, and I don't follow his career, but when they interviewed him about it, he didn't really have an explanation. He's like, well, you know, there's times that we get up there and the starter's late. And so we start like 2 minutes later. He didn't really say what happened.
Well, but Dana, according to rule 5.3.
Oh, yes.
In the rules of golf, a player is assessed a two-stroke penalty when arriving no more than 5 minutes late to his or her tee time. If you arrive 5 minutes later than your tee time, do you know what the penalty is?
Three strokes.
Disqualification. You're completely disqualified from the tournament.
You know there was a field marshal just ready to whip that rule book. Oh, yeah, it's 5.3.
5.3. He's not up here. We got a live one.
We got a 5.3.
I'm going to show you.
I'll tell you this. When it is your job to get paid hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars to play a game, you should know the rules.
Man has been charged with first-degree robbery and aggravated fleeing following an alleged car theft and police chase. Car theft that led to a police chase.
Tell us where, please.
From a cemetery in Kansas City. A cemetery. How do you know you're going to hell? You steal somebody's car from a cemetery.
He was there, the bereaved, to visit the grave of his daughter. Mm. And actually, if you read in a little bit further, Scott, he was there to visit his daughter's grave, the victim.
It was on 435 and 48th Street.
435 and 48th?
Oh, no. That's when police got behind the vehicle. Sorry.
And saw a guy over by his truck. You know, cemeteries are winding roads through the gravestones, right?
Yeah.
So he parked, walked a short distance to his daughter's grave, noticed a little bit later, like heard something, turned around and noticed a guy by his truck, which he thought was odd, and went over and kind of tried to confront him.
Like, see,
if you're
trying to take my car
in a cemetery,
no, anywhere, take it.
Well, my point was, if you are such a lowlife that you're going to steal from someone kneeling down at his daughter's grave, you probably have zero scruples or morals, and the odds that you're going to get shot stepping in to stop something like that, I think, are because of the location there. Mm-hmm. You're beyond help. You're beyond help at that point.
The jerk's name is Lester Brown Jr. He's been charged with first-degree robbery, aggravated fleeing. He has a bond of $200,000. By the way, he ran during the chase. He rammed the SUV into a concrete barrier. That's how he was stopped. So the car's probably destroyed.
So he's a bad driver, too.
Did you hear this? Officer nearly shoots a student this week playing that senior last standing game. He had a water gun.
It's called Assassins.
Playing Assassins. This time it was in Michigan. A Michigan police officer nearly shot a student playing water gun wars game, according to the local school district. And I guess there's body cameras of this that ABC News got their hands on. It shows an officer investigating a report of an individual dressed in a blue hoodie and sweats that appeared to have a gun. Like, bystanders don't understand that the kids are going around right now playing assassins. So when you see somebody ducked behind a car wearing a hoodie with what looks to be a gun, and you don't know, you call 911 and you go, hey, see something, say something. There's some idiot over here behind a car, and it looks like he's lying in wait to shoot somebody. So police are like, all right, we're on our way. Kid with a water gun. Superintendent then sent a very strongly worded letter to parents saying, knock it off. This is how close that he came, Scott.
No, keep
a student
reading.
Jumped out at the officer,
yes,
whose gun was drawn, and shot his squirt gun, getting the officer wet. Mm-hmm. We are so very thankful that the officer, in spite of it being dark out, was able to determine in that split second the student wasn't a threat. You can hear the individual then apologizing. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And the officer responding, you are a very lucky guy.
He most certainly is a threat to the overall IQ of mankind. What an idiot.
The message reads from the school, we are reaching out today. We are very concerned that someone is going to get seriously hurt or worse as seniors engage in the game of water wars following the incident that occurred last night.
Some of the decision making is a little off.
I hated that game.
I'm going to jump out and squirt the police officer.
I hated that game. Can't they make it with something other than a water gun?
Like water balloons or something?
Water balloon somebody. No one is going to see a kid duck behind with a water balloon and go, I'm gonna call 911.
What'd you say, Dan?
Nerf balls.
Anything but a water gun. These stories happen every year in May. Every year.
I know. What do we do? Do the schools, cities ban it?
The schools, they're not going to be able to shut it down because it's such a popular thing. Because at the
it's
end,
not school sanctioned.
Whoever is at the end of this is. Gets money, Scott. Yeah, everyone pays $10.
Yep.
Last person standing is like $2,000.
The schools need to say,
we're not going to sanction this, but we are going to say knock it off with the water guns. To Dan's point, let's make it about water balloons.
If they want to make some money, just go play dice out back of the 7-Eleven, you know.
Well, yeah, I don't know that they're going to do that.
We're trying to keep them alive,
yeah,
Dan.
I don't know that we're going to do that. Let's just go with the water gun.
Back of the 7-Eleven.
They want some excitement.
Well, if the schools won't sanction it because you can't play
you
on
can't.
School grounds.
You can't.
So do the cities then have to ban it?
The police departments in the last, I would say, 4 or 5 years have started coming out and reminding everybody to please play safely. If you're going to do this, let the neighbors know, like, you can't be on private property running through yards.
I mean,
that is how you get shot.
Are we not allowed to have fun because a few people are idiots?
I think when it involves something that is simulated to be a weapon, the answer is no, Sam. It's not worth it. This was dark. It's dark out. The officer didn't know if this was a real gun.
I remember when my kids were playing Assassin when they were in school.
Oh, it drove me nuts. It scared me to death.
It scared me to death. I told them they were not allowed to play that game after dark.
That is another rule that should be implemented. Water balloons only and not after dark.
Who gets to determine when it's too dark?
Is there a gray area there?
It's called dusk.
Yeah. I mean, I'm safe 6 p.m. Let's be safe.
913-586-7798. If you guys want to weigh in, especially those of you with kids who are seniors in high school or who recently were and played this game, it's called Senior Assassins, 913-586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. Apparently, Missouri has created a purple alert bill, also known as RJ's Law.
I heard this today.
So this is kind of like Amber Alert, Silver Alert.
Blue Alert.
It's for people with developmental disabilities. Senate passed earlier this week. The House agreed to it yesterday.
I don't necessarily have an issue with it, but we're running out of colors. And I do think there's a way where they can say, look, we have a missing child or a missing person, you know, and this person needs their medication, has developmental disabilities, and we just report that. I'm surprised, I guess, that we're putting a color to it.
Well, I think the word alert and the color component, for example, if you're driving down 435 and you see the signs over the road and it says Amber Alert, you're more likely to pay attention quickly.
You know that's a child.
Right. And, you know, gray Nissan, ABC123 license plate, whatever. I think what they are attracted to is, or what they think we're attracted to, is the color and the word alert.
But if you get too many colors, you're not going to be able to decipher quickly what the alert is.
Oh, sure.
Like silver alert, pretty self-explanatory. We've all heard it for a very long time.
Elderly person is missing.
Yeah, but the more colors that you add, the more confusing it becomes.
I'm gonna be honest,
I kind of hear Dana's point.
When they added blue alert, I was like, wait, blue, who are we looking for, a Smurf? Who is missing?
What is a blue alert?
The blue alert is when there is a dangerous criminal that has injured law enforcement and is on the run.
Yeah. Hmm. When do we get to the red, orange, fuchsia?
Right,
alert,
right.
You know?
Did you hear this? The airfield at KCI is now back open?
It's back open. It was closed briefly.
What happened?
There was some sort of an incident on an American Airlines plane that was flying in. It landed at KCI.
But issued an emergency evacuation.
Immediately issued an emergency evacuation.
We got reports on the text line. Can neither confirm nor deny that evacuation was driven by smoke filling in the cabin.
Oh, God. And I'm looking at video of a very tiny specialized vehicle. I don't know what else to call it. It's not a truck. I don't know what it is. Towing the airplane.
Let me see.
It's a little green, obviously motorized vehicle of some sort, towing that airplane.
Sounds like an engine failure upon landing to me.
Woo! Do they get to bounce down the slides?
I don't know, Dana.
I bet they did.
I don't know.
I bet they did.
Okay. Did some jerks push their way through the flight attendants and jump on the slide too early?
Well, I don't necessarily hold that against the men who... Look, you sit me in the emergency exit and the fuselage starts filling with smoke and a flight attendant says, just sit tight. I'm opening that emergency door.
Okay, and then you're going to jail.
There's smoke filling the cabin. Where was that this week, Sam?
Oh, that's a
and
tough
it said
one.
People were panicking.
I don't remember.
Smoke was filling the aisle, and everyone was like, "Just sit tight." I'm not sitting tight.
I believe that was in Denver. That was the individual on the runway story.
That's right. That it is.
It was
the guy that got sucked into the engine.
But keep in mind, they didn't know that at the time. They just knew there was a loud bang. The plane came violently screeching to a halt, violently. Mm-hmm. And then they were told sit tight for several minutes.
So the vehicle is called a tug, according to the text line.
A tug.
Yeah.
A tug.
You know what I never knew until recently? And by recently, I mean like within the last year. When I would be on a plane and it's backing up, you know, to pull away from the gate.
It's not actually under its own power in reverse?
I did not know that. I thought that the guys out there with the little sticks and everything were out there to guide the pilot backing up the plane. What I didn't realize was there was a little vehicle, a tug or whatever.
That would be a push.
Or a pusher. That was pushing the plane backwards and setting it up onto the runway. I had no idea. I always thought that those guys with the sticks actually mattered. They apparently don't.
Yeah, they do.
Well, they still, you know, they matter.
What are they doing?
They're guiding
the
tug driver.
The tugger?
Yeah.
Yes.
They're saying, hey, man, you're not about to hit the plane
itself,
next to
Scott.
You.
Well, I never knew.
Whoa.
I'm just going to let that one go. I always thought that that those guys were out there just to help the pilot as he's looking out the window like this and they're directing the pilot. No, the pilot's just sitting up there having a smoke, maybe a drink.
No, I mean, the amount of wind that it would create to have to turn those engines on in reverse to turn that plane around would be insane, to back it out of a spot.
Yeah. So apparently the city council today has approved the new plan
for the liquor.
Can we just start the games and get it over with?
This is starting to become my old where is Arrowhead going. I'm so tired of it.
Yeah. Anyway, apparently in the
entertainment districts,
they can stay open until 5 a.m.
Okay.
Any other bar can stay open until 3 a.m.
Do
I read that right?
If you have a written security plan.
Which, didn't you say to me earlier today they already do?
I do believe to get a liquor license, you have to have a written security plan. then I don't think they'll let you just willy-nilly get a liquor license.
Okay.
But I don't know.
All right. I've had it. Let's just start the games. And I've had it because I'm doing these podcasts, and all I've been doing for the last 2 months is talking about soccer.
Yeah.
You know
how Jamie and Weir have this list in here of things that they don't want each other to say anymore on the air, like terms that bother one of them or the other.
One of them is simp, apparently.
We're going to start a list of topics. Like, remember many years ago, there was a famous person, and I don't know why she's famous. She shouldn't be. And I said, we shall never utter her name on the air again because I hate reality TV, and I think
I'm
not going to say. It starts with a K. I'm not going to say
Kim Kardashian?
No, we're not allowed to say that. See, that was my thing, that we weren't going to say that name on the air.
Oh.
I think we're going to start adding topics to this. The Arrowhead move, where that darn ballpark is going, and I'm adding the World Cup drinking thing to this.
IDF's switch up stories?
No. When there's a switch to birth,
I would like to add that to the
still
list.
Talk about that.
Switched at birth.
No.
is added to the list.
I agree. That's 2-1. Yep. Sorry, Dana.
Mm-hmm. Any switch to birth story, you cannot discuss it on the air. None.
No,
ever.
I'm going to raise an objection.
Okay. Well, anyway.
Because switched at birth is like once or twice a year, and they make headlines when it happens.
What?
When can we drink and can't? Who is going to be going out and drinking at 4 a.m.? If that's you, you need to go find a therapist.
No, you need to go find a meeting.
There has been a lot of talk over this, and I just don't think there's a huge appetite locally, with respect, to the coverage on whether or not you can drink in certain spots until 4 a.m.
Actually, it's 5.
But that's when you would be shut down. Last call is now going to be at 4:30. How many of our listeners are going, I've got that circled on my calendar. I cannot wait to go to Power and Light.
Open back up at 6:30.
Order a vodka tonic at 4:20 in the morning.
Well,
I just don't know that many people are going to do it. I just don't.
I don't think it's locals that are going to take advantage of
right.
this.
And you know what? If you're coming in from Algeria, wherever you're coming in, and that's your thing, you do you. I just don't think locally it's going to be that big of a deal.
What are you laughing
The way about? That switched
the
to birth is.
The level of passion right now. And switched at birth twice a year. That's funny.
Somebody
right
on the
there.
Text line says, we're adding golf to the list too. No golf talk.
You brought the golf up today.
Well, that's because it was a weird rule that I had never heard of.
Uh-huh.
Where apparently your tea time is extremely important.
I'm sorry. I think it's extremely important that I go home with the baby that came out of my lady parts. Can we make that happen
I think it's
in America?
I think it's important that the city draws in a lot of tax revenue off a bunch of drunks from England and Holland.
Well, wait a minute. The most recent stories, they did go home with the baby they carried. It just wasn't their baby. The wrong ingredients.
You know a lot about the story for someone who claims to not care about
because
switch to birth.
I hear about it every week.
He's invested in the show. He's our producer.
Speaking
he's
of
only
babies,
doing his job.
Speaking of babies, when we get home, when we get back, man and woman have a baby, little tiny baby, beautiful baby. Mom, this is so sad, has a brain tumor and dies.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Her parents, birth mom's parents, want regular visitation with this child.
Hmm.
It goes to court. Do grandparents have the right, the legal right, to see that baby?
913-586-7798. We have the grievances coming your way in less than 30 minutes. If you miss a segment, be sure to check out the Dana and Parks podcast. You can follow us on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Whatever happened to old Juice Newton?
I think she's still alive.
I bet you she's on the casino circuit. And you know what? Turn away. I would go see her. That's the first concert I ever went to in Topeka, Kansas. Yes, I went and saw Juice Newton.
Name one other song.
Playing with the Queen of Hearts.
Oh, damn it. Forgot about that.
The Sweetest Thing I've Ever Known is Loving You. The Sweetest Thing.
Still alive. Still very pretty.
Oh, she's gorgeous.
74 years old.
3 for 3 on the top
four
listened Spotify songs for her.
I'm going to tell you right now, I got some heavy rotation with the old Juice Newton in my Apple Tunes.
Can you go number 4?
Playing with the Queen of Hearts, Sweetest Thing, Just Call Me Angel, Oh, is it that one?
Yes, it is.
Oh.
That one.
It is that one.
Oh, good Lord.
It's that one.
Oh, my goodness. As soon as you say it, I'm going to go, yeah, I do like her. I listen to her.
It starts with it's.
It's.
A.
It's a.
It's
a. If I'm having pain right here in my body.
Because maybe somebody broke up with me.
It's a.
Heartache. It's a heartache. Nothing but a heartache. Love me some Juice Newton.
Now, her catalog is not very deep because Queen of Hearts appears 5 times in her top 10 songs.
Well, you have to remix it and remake it.
She got the remix, the remake, and the remix of the remake.
You have to have the...
the long version, the extra long version, and the short version.
The radio version.
Right, right.
Yeah. The club mix. You always have to have the club mix.
Club mix.
It's true.
I don't know that we can add bass to playing with the Queen Hearts.
Yes, you can.
Okay. Dad is speaking out. Talk to Good Morning America this morning if you missed it. After winning a grandparents' visitation rights case, Dad is in Rhode Island. His name is Scott Naso, and he talked to ABC News this weekend. He says this case wasn't about grandparents' rights. It's about parents' rights. Hmm. He says, being grandparents, in my opinion, is a privilege. Naso says he has been living in survival mode since his wife, Sherry, died 2 years ago, and he became embroiled in a legal battle with her parents, his in-laws. Mm-hmm. Both happen to be former medical doctors, and that's going to come into play here in a minute.
Former?
Yep. Before she died, Sherry had also battled breast cancer, underwent multiple rounds of chemotherapy. They get married, they start a family with the help of a surrogate, and they welcomed one child, a daughter named Layla. Okay. Sherry's parents lived near the family and would help out when they needed help. And in 2023, his wife got sick again. He says because her parents were physicians, they kept telling her symptoms were related to Prozac withdrawal. And he said, I'm a layperson, I'm not a doctor, I believed it. They end up getting a second opinion. Long story short, it had nothing to do with that. Her parents were wrong. She had brain cancer.
Okay, so the grandparents are doctors.
Okay. She had brain cancer big, and she died 11 days after she went to the hospital to check it out.
Sorry to
Terrible,
hear that.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
After she died, her husband testified in court that things got weird, and both of their licenses to practice medicine lapsed and expired, the grandparents, okay?
Which might not be unusual if they're retired and no longer practicing.
Yeah, it sort of, he says fast forward to 2024, things got weird and he decided he did not want her parents to visit Layla anymore. And if they were going to visit, he wanted it to be supervised. So grandparents petition the court, claim they have rights as grandparents to visit the child of their deceased daughter, and a judge initially agreed. Because he had some concerns about the way they practice medicine and the child's safety, he refused to let them visit the child. So a judge steps in and says, we're going to fine you. You are in contempt of court. We said let grandparents visit. You're saying no. That's the decision that was overturned today, and a court ruled the grandparents do not have an inherent legal right to see that child.
It sounds to me like he holds them partially or fully responsible for the death of his wife.
There was some hinkiness when they stepped in as she was ill. I will tell you that.
What do you mean, hinkiness?
He came in one day, and both mom and dad were leaning over the daughter and putting some type of medication down her throat. Dad claimed I'm her pediatrician. I mean, she's like 30. Yeah. There's just some weirdness. And so because of all that stuff, he just said, look, I would really prefer that you not have visitation. In the end, he won that case.
He won because he's right.
Yes. As uncomfortable and awful as that is, I do not believe extended relatives of any kind.
I agree.
Have a legal right to see your child.
Well, sometimes the mom or the dad doesn't have the right to see their own child based on certain things.
Keep in mind, he was worried enough about their behavior, whatever that is, right or wrong, however they practice medicine. He was worried enough. He went full contempt of court.
They almost sound holistic. Am I wrong to read
that?
I don't know.
But some type of medicine with which he did not agree.
Yeah. Which means not conventional, it sounds like.
I think that's a fair way to put it.
But go ahead.
I didn't take that at all.
Like, they think that it was the Prozac that was causing her brain tumor. They're putting some sort of ointment on her throat.
Okay.
That doesn't sound like... I mean, if I go to see a doctor, an oncologist, and I have cancer, God forbid, brain cancer, and he starts rubbing an ointment on my neck, I'm going to have some serious questions about his or her ability to practice medicine. What is the ointment that you're putting on my neck? And how is that going to help me with my brain cancer?
Here's what brought it to head, Sam. It was not his wife, pardon me. On the day of his wife's death, he walked in and witnessed her parents treating his daughter Layla in a way that troubled him. Sherry's parents had my child Layla pinned to the ground.
There it is.
Sherry's mother had her pinned by her shoulders. Sherry's father had one hand on her chest. I know now it was a syringe of prednisone, a type of steroid hormone that can be used as an anti-inflammatory.
Very common.
That he shot down her throat.
Well, they're not holistic.
The dad reported, reported in court that he considered himself to be Layla's pediatrician and did not know he needed the father's consent to treat her granddaughter.
With a steroid?
Yeah. No. I don't think it's probably ever a good idea to have, like, super close family member as also your care provider.
Of course not. Of course not.
So he's like, what the hell are you doing? Back away from my child. But why are we doing this? My wife just died.
Yeah. But stretch it out. If you have an aunt or an uncle and your parents don't want their brother or sister to be around you for whatever reason, it doesn't matter. I am her father. You are not. I helped bring this young lady into this world. You did not.
I think it's hard in a case like this because grandparents are often, you know, you see the grandparents as mostly, I'm not saying in all families, they are the loving, nurturing. You want them to spend all of that time with grandma and grandpa on both sides, with all of that life experience they have. Mm-hmm. But look, families are complicated, and maybe you do have, like, you know, some oddities in your family that you're like, I don't know that I necessarily want my kids around that, right?
Well, yeah, like my mom's dad, he was a jerk.
Right?
Orville was a horrible human being. And of course, his name was Orville.
I know. Probably the only man named Orville in the history of the world that is a horrible human being, but I know you're right.
He's no longer with us.
I know.
He donated all of his money to the local library.
He liked to read. Doesn't mean he's a great human.
Studious man.
My mom didn't get a dime.
I mean, you know who else was studious? The Unabomber, Sam. I'm just saying.
Well, you know, we read some things, we read other things, you know? By the way, the plane at KCI, according to this picture from Fox 4 News, I don't know if this is just a random picture that they chose or if this is actually the picture from
it was an American Airlines plane.
This appears to be an American Airlines plane. Shows a small regional jet, and no, they did not get to use the fun bouncy slide.
If you're going to emergency land me, I want to bounce down the fun slide.
It shows passengers walking out onto the wing and then dropping onto their butts and sliding off the side of the wing.
That's boring.
I know.
Boring.
I know.
We'll do the airing of the grievances coming up in about 15 minutes. 913-586-7798.
I love these stories. A man goes into like a grocery store restaurant or I don't even know what do they call the Wawa? What is a Wawa? Is that a gas station?
I believe so. I think it's like a Buc-ee's.
No, a Wawa is the Quick Trip of the East.
Okay. So guy goes into Wawa and
it's a really dumb name.
Is it? It's so stupid.
Quick Trip's so much better.
And sees a fanny pack that someone's left on the ground. Mm-hmm. I never understand how this happens, but he looks at the fanny pack, opens it up. There's $30,000 in it. Now, why anyone would A, keep $30,000 in a fanny pack, B, go into a Wawa and then leave it in the bathroom, I have no idea. But this is what happened. And a man in Florida is now walking proof that there are still good people in this world. Luis Salazar noticed the fanny pack hanging on the railing inside of the bathroom of the Wawa in River Beach, Florida. Opened it up, saw the 30 grand. Owner eventually reported it missing. Salazar immediately returned it.
I'd keep a finder's fee for some
of that. Right? So I give him this bag. I say, this is yours. And the man is crying. He hugs me. And Salazar said, I told him, it's not my money to take. I was not raised that way.
No, sir. There was only 3 grand in the bag. And you're adding a zero. You're lying.
The owner of the family pack said he was carrying the money for a, quote, family emergency. Help me break this down.
What world are we sure
this is not drug money?
Family emergency.
We ran out of coke and needed more.
Salazar emphasized he never even considered keeping the money.
If it was a family emergency, why wouldn't you keep it at home?
Also, hold on. Do we really believe these people when they're like, yeah, I never even considered keeping it? No, that's what you tell the news person who's asking you questions with a camera in your
face. Police were involved. They had to figure out who the owner was. They actually tracked him down via surveillance footage to figure out, all right, this is the guy that walked in with a fanny pack, and then he walks out and he doesn't have a fanny pack. Is it possible this was some sort of drop where I'm like, I'm a bad person and I'm going to walk in with a fanny pack.
It's possible.
With $30,000 and I'm going to leave it right here on this wall and then I'm going to walk away. And then the bad person on the other end is like, okay.
Kind of like that culvert across the street from our office.
But instead, Mr. Salazar, who's a nice, honest man, wanders in just to go to the bathroom and is like, what's there a fanny pack? He probably interrupted ne'er-do-wells.
But again, hang on. Why do I always have to poke holes in good stories? If you're such a good guy, why'd you open the fanny pack?
Because wouldn't you want to know what was in it? I would want to know what was in it.
No. Maybe there's a driver's license.
I would take it to the counter and say, hey, this was in the bathroom.
Oh, Sam, 99 people out of 100 would open that fanny pack.
Because they want to see if there's money inside so they can take it.
No, why are you peeing on this story?
That's what he does for a living.
Money.
He's a story peer.
I would absolutely have looked in it. I'm going to be honest, if it was a backpack, I'd be afraid there was a bomb in it. I would call 911.
Because you can't put explosives in a fanny pack?
I feel like it'd be bigger if it was an explosive.
I'm with both of you.
You would look and you know it.
Of course I would. But I would feel it first. And I guarantee you he grabbed the fanny pack and squeezed it.
What does squeezing a fanny pack get you? It could be a deck of cards in there.
But I don't feel an explosive, so I'm going to open it up. Oh, there's $30,000. I'm getting back in my car right away.
There are good people in this world. I don't know what that $30,000 was for, but the guy said he did the right thing and he gave it back.
Family emergency.
I carry $30,000 around on my waist. For a family emergency.
You never know when you're going to have to book a random hotel room or buy the whole hotel.
Okay.
All right, we got the airing of the grievances. Festivus Friday coming your way. Right after the news, get in early. Every line is open. 913-586-7798. The news is next.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.